be here this morning, if you would, please turn in the Word of God to the book of Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, as we continue our series, A Life of Significance. Today's message is consequences. And we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 7, and I come to you as I come each and every week, saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could go up one slide, please. Go up one slide. There we go. And as we look at today's notes and we look around the sanctuaries, some folks must have been on to what I was going to preach on today, because if you look there, the title, right below the title and before the points, it reads, The Consequences of Sin. The consequences of sin. And so many times in modern churches, modern Christian churches, they do not want to preach on the consequences of sin. They want to preach on the happy, the clappy, the joy boy stuff. But you know that there are consequences of sin. And today we are seeing some of that around the world. Amen? And we look at what is going on. And it's simply appalling, because people will not call sin, sin. People will not call the problem the problem. We look simply no further than what is going on in England the last few weeks and what they are going through there. You know, you wonder, well, Pastor, how could that happen? How could those things keep going on and happen when those people seem to be so good and they extend kindness and graciousness to people that come into their country? Why are these things happening? Why do these people do this? Why can't they simply leave others alone? Well, it's because there's sin. There's rebellion against the one true God in their lives. And while others will not call what it is, we know what it is. It is rebellion against Jehovah God. It's rebellion against the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to impose their fractured, their abomination of religion and of what the true Word of God says against the world. You wonder who these people are. They are throughout the Bible. They are the same ones today that we are going to talk about in today's message. They are living these days. If you wonder who the Amalekites were, who the Canaanites were, who the Philistines were, who the Moabites were, you need to look no further than the map and look there at where they lived, and then look today at where Al-Qaeda and ISIS is rampant. You need to look no further than that. It is not a surprise that they are doing these things. It is a result of rejecting God and God's plan for their lives. It is a false religion. And it is all, that is all that can be said about it. I'm reminded of the words of Martin Luther when he stood before the Inquisition and the Inquisitors. And they told him to renounce what he had said. And he said these words, and I stand on the same thing. That is what the Word of God says. Here stand I can do no other. And so we preach, thus saith the Lord. And so as I studied this week, if you're there in Joshua chapter 7, please say amen. If you're there in Joshua chapter 7, we're going to read the Joshua chapter 7 verse 1. We're going to do a survey of the whole chapter. We will move through quickly. Keep your Bibles open, because we're going to read through this whole chapter today. But take a look at this. Chapter 6 ends with these words, So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the country. Everybody's excited. The victory has been won. Things are going well. The very next verse in the Bible. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Camri, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. We read those two verses and we think, how is that even possible? How can you go from the victory of chapter 6 and verse 27 to the sin and the rebellion and the fall of chapter 7 verse 1? One simple word. Sin. Sin. Now, I put a note I put a little bracket here in my notes to say, expound kindly. In other words, don't beat up the children of God that are in God's house over these things. Now, we all know that we're sinners. Amen?
Amen.
We know that. But we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There's power in His great name. We have been going through Joshua verse by verse, but today we are going to do more of a survey as we watch in God's Word as things turn ugly. They turn ugly in a hurry, as a matter of fact. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to be moving and covering a lot of ground fairly quickly. We have 6 points today, which we will move through also fairly quickly, as we answer this question, what are the consequences of sin in our life? Now, first, what is sin? The word sin in the Bible means literally to miss the mark. It means to miss the mark. But as we all know, sin is when we go against the will of God. Amen? There is not a single person here in this sanctuary that has not broken every one of the Ten Commandments. Does anybody want to argue that point? People say, well, Pastor, I never killed anyone. Well, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, Lord, I've never committed murder, but I say unto you, if you have anger in your heart against your brother or sister, you have committed murder. And so there's not a single commandment that we have all not broken. So what are the consequences of sin? Today's first point is this, is that sin brings defilement. Sin brings defilement. So what is the accursed thing that we read about here that brings this defilement? Well, look back quickly in chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. If you're there in your Bibles, please say amen. And it says, and you, by all means, this is God talking through Joshua, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel, notice that, if you take, you will make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. That means set aside. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. God says, don't do that. Do not take those things. Leave that alone. And because they were obedient at that point, the walls of Jericho fell. The victory was won. Joshua was blessed and known throughout all of the land, and the enemies of the people of God lived in fear and great trembling. But let's not miss something important. Look at verse 1 in chapter 7 again. Who did this accursed thing? It says that Achan did that. A single person did that thing. But that the anger of the Lord was kindled against who? It burned against the people, the children of Israel. More on that later. But what I want you to know is that sin brings defilement. It brings defilement before the Lord. You cannot commit a great sin and go into the presence of the Lord without that sin confessed. You simply don't feel right if you're a child of God. Amen? So we need to take care of that. Point number two. Sin brings disaster. Sin brings disaster. You may think, well, Pastor, I see all kind of people living in sin these days, and they seem to be doing okay. Yes, they do, for the moment. But have you noticed some of the really wealthy? Some of the liberals that we see on TV, do they seem happy to you? Do they seem like they're rejoicing in their wealth? They do not to me. You see, sin brings disaster. They simply don't realize the disaster that is coming. Look at verse 2 in chapter 7. Now, you're going to need your Bibles because this is not up on the screen. Now, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, A-I. That word means heap of ruins, by the way. They must have thought, oh, this is going to be gravy. I want you to go over there to that pile of ruins, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. Once again, Joshua, the wise commander, is sending out a scout. He's sending out a team to scout out the things that they're going to do, just like he did at Jericho. Look at verses 3 through 5. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, now just listen to this. Do not let all of the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai, listen, this just kills me. And the men of Ai struck down about 36. How many went up? 2,000 or 3,000. They struck down 36. For they chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Seriously. I mean, this is one of those moments in the Bible where you just look at it and you think, okay, God wants us to live the significant life. Amen? God wants that for us. But here we see an old-fashioned whipping. They just get beat. How is it possible for God's people to be defeated by those people? How is that possible? Simple, there was sin within the army of the Lord. Look closely. Though they had no clue as to how this could happen, their hearts melted as wax. After all, they had not done anything personally themselves. Amen? They hadn't done anything personally. I'm sure they believe that they're right with the Lord. I mean, after all, look at the recent events. I'm sure they looked around. There's Jericho. It lies in ruins. Not a soul has been left alive other than Rahab and her family. They think they're on a roll. They scouted out. We beat Jericho. Surely we can beat Ai. So they scouted out and they send a few thousand soldiers. Ai, heap of ruins, after all, is no big deal. Amen? I'm sure that's what they're thinking. This is no big deal. But there is hidden, listen closely to this, there is hidden, unconfessed, unrepentant sin in that camp. So the battle is lost, and God's great name is disgraced by His people. How? Because God's people have done that. Note that it is only one man that committed the sin, but God does hold that man accountable, and God actually says that Israel is accountable as well. Now, God says, that's one of my people, but my people are accountable for that. Don't miss that. Do not miss that, church. We don't want to hear that too much, do we? Then stop looking around the sanctuary. I wonder what you're up to. All right? Sin brings defilement. Sin brings disaster. Sin also brings, point number three, sin brings despair. Sin brings a sense of despair, a sense of hopelessness. Joshua knows that something is up, and for a moment, it gets the best of him. But he does some things right. Look in verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. So he gets something right. You know, he falls on his face. He humbles himself before the ark. What is the ark? The ark is the presence of the Lord. Joshua, he does something right. He goes to the right person. Who has been offended, church? The Lord has been offended. And so Joshua goes before the presence of the Lord. The ark, the symbol. Joshua goes to the right person. God, Joshua is not treating that sin lightly. Joshua knows that something is up. Whatever it is, he doesn't know what happens yet, but he knows there has to be an answer because they have failed so enormously, coming off such a great victory. Look at verse 7. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over to Jordan at all?" Here goes the whining. "To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan." I'm surprised the Lord didn't remove him as leader right on the spot. He prays incorrectly. He's whining. He's demanding an answer. Why, God? When God's going to let him know. By the way, if you ever pray, "Lord, reveal to me my sin," Really? He will do that. Verse 8, look at this. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? He's appalled at Israel's cowardly performance. Verse 9. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? See, in this, in verse 9, he comes to a two-part conclusion that is only one part correct. See, first, he correctly believes that everyone's going to hear about this great defeat of the people of God. Guys, it will be known when sin happens with the people of God. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how the media will simply leap on that? They let any celebrity, any politician that's in their pocket, go without the slightest thing being said about them. But let one pastor, let one deacon, let one single Christian do something, and it fills the airways for weeks, if not months. There was actually a person on a popular TV show on Friday that said these words. This person related Christians and Christianity to the Taliban. Can you imagine such a thing in our world? Can you imagine such a thing? My sense of righteous indignation was overwhelming. I can only imagine how the Lord felt over that. You are His people. I look around this sanctuary and I see people that know who they are and where they stand in the Lord. And you know what? The sense of unfairness can be overwhelming sometimes. But be not afraid, amen? Because the Lord God still sits upon His throne. So he correctly assumes and believes that everybody will hear about this. Sin does seem to get around. Everybody likes to hear about that. But second, he incorrectly thinks it's all over now. Guys, here's what Joshua has forgotten. With God, all things are possible. With God, there is always a chance. You are never out of the battle. You are never defeated, not with God. And finally, we see the best part of that prayer in verse 9. Joshua says, your great name. In other words, Joshua is concerned about God's honor. That is a wonderful, amazing thing. Let's read verses 10 through 15. If you're there, say amen. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? I love that. What are you doing? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies unless you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. Don't miss this, guys. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families. And the family which the Lord takes shall come by households. And the household that which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Personally, I prefer how the New Testament handles this. Lord, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. But if you commit something that defiles the name of the Lord, we know a couple in the New Testament that the Lord struck dead while the words were in their mouth. The Lord will not be mocked. So people say, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought it was Achan who sinned. Did God hold a whole nation accountable for one man's sin? Pastor, what sin did Israel commit that warrants God's denouncement? That's a reasonable question. That's a question I asked as I was studying this. Folks, it's very simple. It was a sin of carelessness among God's people. They got relaxed. They stop examining themselves as a body, as a congregation of the Lord. It was a carelessness marked and enabled by Satan's favorite sin. And what is Satan's very favorite sin, guys? What is it? Pride. Pride. What was that sin? What was that pride that they showed? Look back at verse 3. Look back at verse 3. It's good sometimes to revisit these things. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, if you dare say amen, amen. Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. You think, so what? Well, here's what. They're saying, we don't need to all go. We don't need to all go. We only need a couple of thousand for this. Just look over here at what we did at Jericho. It's in ruins and everyone's dead. Friends, they forgot something important. And it's that Jericho was not their victory. It's that it was God's victory. It was for God's glory that the walls fell down. And the friends, I say this with all the passion in my heart, the Lord will not share His glory with anyone. Isaiah 42:8 begins with these words, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm glad I brought my own. You know, guys, when something great happens in our lives, I'm going to say this again. When something great happens in our lives, we get a raise at work. We get a promotion. We get a new car. We're able to buy a house. When something great happens in our lives, it's so easy to take credit for it. Stomping on some toes right now. These hurt right up here. But we need to avoid that kind of thinking. Living Hope Church, we are starting to grow. Listen to me. The past 3 months, the elders and the pastors and I have been so excited about what God is starting to do here. I realize that today it's summer and the crowds go up and down during the summer. This is Florida. We get it. We're praying for everybody to get back in here. But that's all right. But Living Hope is starting to grow. Excitement is building. Hallelujah. But I think that God is about to do something to really bless us. I think this place is about to explode. The Lord is not going to raise up 4 new preachers and pastors for this small church. Amen. He is not going to do that. He has a reason for that. The Lord is not going to raise up a person as a deacon in this church for this small church when we already have deacons and pastors. He's not going to do that. But listen to me, church. When God blesses us, when God is doing this, we need to get ready for an explosion. We need to get ready to march in full force. We don't need to march with just a few of us. We need to be on the march as a church. Because when God blesses us, He is blessing what He has done in His power and for His own glory. Amen. Hallelujah. He is not blessing us because of our programs. He is not blessing us because of our ministries, our personalities. He's certainly not blessing us because of my preaching or teaching, or Pastor Ivan's preaching or teaching, or Pastor Carol's preaching or teaching, or Miss Latima's teaching. He is not blessing any of our events. He is not blessing any of our stuff. He's not blessing any of our fundraisers. He will decide to bless us. Why? Because with one voice, we stand at the church and say, He is the Lord. That is His name, and His glory belongs to Him. Give praise in the house of God. So let's just check our pride at the door, and instead, let's shout with pride in our God. Amen. Our God is mighty. Our God is awesome. Amen? He is an awesome God. If you can't get excited about God, I don't know what you can get excited about. Young people, if you can't get excited about how powerful your God is, there's nothing else that you need to get excited about. Children, if you can't get excited about how awesome God is, there's nothing else to get excited about. Some of us that are slightly over 60, stay excited in the Lord. You might be 60, you might be 70, you might be 80, you might be going into your 90s. Don't worry. Be of good cheer. The Lord's not done with you. The Lord has things for you to do. Why? Because of His glory. For His great name. Guys, sinful pride dishonors God's great name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 10, he reads that. The Lord says to Joshua, get up. In other words, what are you doing? What are you doing down there? We got things to do. The people have sinned against me. What are you whining about? What's going on with you for? I know why you're whining because of that, because of verse 27 in chapter 6. It says right there that Joshua, the Lord was with Joshua, and Joshua's name was spread with fame. And Joshua's taking this loss like it's an affront against him personally. And God's saying, look, I said don't touch that stuff. Verses 11 through 15. But now anyone can defeat you. It wouldn't have mattered if you'd have sent 2,000 or 3,000. It wouldn't matter if you sent 500,000. You went in your name. And you got the whipping that you deserved. And by the way, God says in those verses, I'm done with you unless you address this. Sin must be addressed, guys. But pastor, there's one guy. There's only one sin. Well, how many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to get thrown out of the Garden of Eden? One. God says, not in my house. Not in my house. Listen, friends, one drop of poison harms the whole body. You think not? Take a drop of Black Widow's poison and put it in your veins. See how fast the poison spreads. There are times when correction within the church is needed. It's required. And far too often, the modern Christian will tell you, when you go to address the sins in their life, and you do it with compassion and love, and you don't stick a finger in their face, a Christian will tell another Christian, that's none of your business. Well, newsflash, breaking news, because according to the book of Joshua, yes, it is my business. I don't want to go out to the heap of ruins out there sharing the gospel and get beaten because of somebody that's disobedient and unrepentant of their sin within the house of Living Hope Church. Amen? Listen, the leadership in this church is fully committed to honoring God in His great name. Any of my elders, any of the pastors, can look at my giving record. They can look at my browser history on my PC or my phone anytime. Why? Because of His great name. Because of His great name. You and I are in the army of the Lord together, just like Joshua and Israel and Achan. So it certainly is our business. It's yours too. I can sin, but God said Israel has sinned. Christians may think that their sin is their own affair. In other words, once again, just mind your own business. But friends, sin in the body must be addressed when it's found. It must be. Because one day we will all face God. One day we will all give an account. I will give an account for my actions as a preacher declaring the truth of God. Living Hope Church, you will be held responsible for whether or not you had your Bibles open, reading along, ensuring I preached, thus saith the Lord. When a pastor or a preacher goes somewhere else beside thus saith the Lord, drag them off of the pulpit. Drag them off the pulpit. Let's avoid God's denouncement, shall we? Why? Because of our last upsetting point. We have two more points, but we got a good point at the end. Hang in there, guys. Fifth, sin brings damnation. Well, pastor, this isn't getting better. Let's read verses 16 through 18. As we walk through these, well, we're going to read through the rest of the chapter, but we're going to do this in a procession. Watch the procession of events. Verse 16 through 18. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zaharites, and he brought the family of the Zaharites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. What did God say to do? Go get the tribe, go get the clan, go get the family, go get the man by man, bring the man to me. So first, the obedient are gathered. All of the assembly is gathered. Good Lord. Listen, guys. Not only is there a gathering here in the book of Joshua, but one day there will be another gathering soon. When Christ judges the world in truth and righteousness. One day after the rapture of the church. One day after the great tribulation. One day after the millennial reign of Christ. Satan will try one last time to deceive the world and will be utterly and completely defeated. And when God has said time is no more, on that day, the redeemed of all the ages will assemble. Just like the people assembled right here in the book of Joshua. What in the world am I talking about? I am so glad you asked. You see, I'll explain that in just a moment. But first, friends, what God does is first the sin is exposed. Listen, guys. When we sin, we generally do it in private, amen? Let's try that again. We do it in private, amen? Yeah, it got real quiet on that one. Surely, Pastor, you're talking to that guy on the other side of the sanctuary. But when God judges, it's done in public. Look at verse 19. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Listen, friends, the book of Philippians says in verses 9 and 10, therefore God has also highly exalted him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, when God is saying, you're going to give an account here, and one day we will all give an account for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I don't know about you, I have no problem doing that. I have no problem bending my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes getting back up is difficult. But guys, just in case you forgot what that looks like, when you go before the throne of God and you pray, this is what it looks like. You go before God. You humble yourself. Confess your sins. Ask to be forgiven. I would like to ask everybody to look away while I get back up, but I'm not going to do that. I know that Miss Erlene was over there praying, Lord, let his knees stay with him one more minute. Look at verses 20 and 21. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. In other words, this is his bent his knee moment. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver underneath it. He's confessing what it is, but it's too late. And that day is coming for everyone as well, guys. When the final judgment comes, it's too late. Repent now. For those of you watching on the internet, don't wait for the end. Do it now. Look at verses 22 through 26. I'm going to read all the way through. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them. Remember, they stoned him with stones. They burned them, the entire family. with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Unconfessed sin brings everlasting disaster, friends. That's not Brister. That's Bible. God makes it very, very clear. Every person that does not receive the Lord Jesus Christ will one day face the great white throne of judgment. Mark this in your notes. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Read that when you get home. You see, the Christian will not be judged. We've received Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about that day. But when that judgment comes, it'll be done before the assembly of heaven. Friends, that one day when God says, that is it. It's over. The unsaved will be exposed. The demons will be exposed. The Antichrist and Satan will be exposed. And they will be cast into the lake of fire in everlasting judgment. Yeah, I know, I'm Mr. Happy Fun Guy. But there is really good news today. I know you guys have been waiting for me to get to this part. Lord, Pastor, give us some good news. Is there a way out of this? Yes, there is really good news, because that didn't have to happen to Achan if he'd just been obedient to the Lord's commands. And that doesn't have to happen to anybody here that's never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're here in this sanctuary or watching on the internet. All that has to be done is to acknowledge and be obedient to God's plan and confess. That's it. I'm a simple guy. Miss Ruthann can vouch for that. No applause, Miss Ruthann. Just vouch for it. I'm a simple guy. God needed a simple plan for people like me. Don't give me a bunch of options. Just say, hey, this is it. Right here. Miss Ruthann, we go traveling somewhere. I say, how do we get there? She never says, well, you could go this way. And she never does that. She knows my personality. She goes, you got to go right there. And that's how I am. I need the plan. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or you're watching on the internet, there's still time to get right with God. God is a God of judgment, and justice is coming. But God is also the God of grace and mercy. And God has decided to show us mercy if we accept the grace that He provides. You ready for the great news? Salvation brings dignity. You don't have to walk around like a dirty old sinner. Why? Because you're not, if you're one of the King's kids. You are the redeemed of God. You are the royal priesthood. Royal blood flows through your veins. As you walk forth, demons tremble in fear. They cannot stand the light that is in your heart. So when you go out there, don't go out there like the defeated foe. And don't go out there with a few thousand either, or just a little bit of what you got. Bring the whole army of God with you. Bring the whole armor of God with you. You see, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace we have been saved through faith. Faith in who? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace, eternal salvation, can only be had by receiving His Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord. And doing that restores every bit of dignity you have. Have you done some undignified things in your life? Got quiet again in here. Of course we have. We all have. Amen? Amen? But we can say, so what? That's in the past. I'm the redeemed of God. And I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time Satan sits here and whispers in my ear all the things I've done in the past, he reminds me about all the things I did in the past. All I do is say, so what? Let me remind you of your future. Because I know where I'm going, and I know where he's going. Amen? Listen, it restores your dignity, not because of who you are, but because of who he is and what he has done on the cross of Calvary. His grace and his mercy and his love are rich and full and free in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's plan. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God's direct instructions, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So may I ask you a question in closing? Isn't God great. Isn't God great? Do you want to live a significant life? Then receive the Lord Jesus Christ today if you never have. Or join the army of God. Join Living Hope Baptist Church on the march for the kingdom work. And all of God's people said, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.